Some excerpts of Tim Bryce on the radio.
Good morning, Yakima. 6:11, Wednesday, halfway through, 10th day of April. Hey, 972-5481, that is our number. Keep it handy today. Some things to talk about, some things to have an opinion about. Yeah.
Hey, look, I wanted to just launch a conversation, but apparently I wanted to launch it tomorrow. But we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
All right.
Look, I was just reading an article by Tim Bryce, and Tim, I'll let him define what it is that he does. But Tim, what exactly do you do? Good morning.
Hi. Well, I'm an author and businessman. I'm a management consultant.
That's right.
And I've written on a bunch of stuff over the years.
You can have a
business management, ethics, you know, that kind of stuff.
The blog kind of thing.
Right.
We get regular reminders, and you send stuff to radio stations, too, if they want to put your radio commentary on air. Right.
It's usually like a 3 to 5 minute clip that goes out pretty regularly. And today I was talking about who teaches morality. And wow, I'm getting a heck of a reaction on that right now.
Well, I think that's awesome. You've got a new ebook out called Stand Up for Morality.
And
I think that's fabulous. And as I was reading over the condensed radio clip that you send out, and you say you kind of define morality, and then you raise the question about who's teaching it, and I don't like the conclusion. And I think that's part of the big problem with America. So let's start with this, if you got a couple of minutes. How do we define morality? A lot of people are saying, oh, the country's gone to hell in a handbasket, and we've lost our morals and all of that. But in your opinion, how do you define morality?
Well, morality is really one of those values that we consider right or wrong, good or bad. I mean, you go to Webster's or Oxford's, that's what you're going to find out there. And it is the funny thing, this is what I found out in going through this, is we all have our own personal interpretations of what that is, but you know what? No one talks about it, and that's why I really wrote the ebook, because I discovered that nobody is talking about this. I only found two places on the internet that are really actively going after this. That's over in Israel, where they're teaching their armed forces over there, giving them courses on morality so they can spot and combatants and how to deal with combatants in this day and age. And the other one was down in New Zealand. They're teaching their police department down there so they can spot evil and what to do about that. And I was really amazed that nobody is talking about this.
Well, you know, I look back to a quote that we use here on the morning news a lot, and it speaks to our Constitution, and it's John Adams saying that, you know, the Constitution was constructed for a religious and moral people and wholly unfit for any other kind. So at the core of our founding, there was a consideration that morality was going to be part of the makeup of the nation for our system to work.
Absolutely. And one of the things I found out in doing my research on this is there's a little-known ordinance out there called the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. It's coming out of the first Congress. You know, that Congress that came out with the Constitution.
Yeah, those guys. Fascinating.
Yeah, tell us. Guys. Well, they said, okay, all of this land that we're coming up on, like around the Great Lakes that ultimately became Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, all right, if these guys are going to become states, what are going to be the rules by which, you know, we're going to bring them in and grant them statehood? And one of them was, I think it was Article 3 it was called, that says in the schools they want them to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. And that really blew me away when I read that, you know. And, yeah, they teach knowledge in the schools these days, but a long time ago, yes, they used to teach morality and religion. Now, religion they talked about in a general sense at first, which is, yes, there's a divine being. You know, there's the basic things, what's the golden rule of life and whatever. But if you also wanted to have the schools used for religious purposes after school hours, that was fine. And as a kid growing up in Connecticut, my school used to do that.
That ain't happening today for the most part.
It doesn't happen at all, and I found that amazing. The other thing they had, too, at the time, this is in the early 1820s, a catechism on the Constitution.
And bring it back, because it is a very important thing. Remember the magic words your mom always taught you? Please and thank you. Well, don't forget thank you. It's all on the way with Bill and Joel, and glad to have you as part of the fun this morning as well.
Gainesville. We're very appreciative, and we want to tell them thank you. Thank you, Tim Bryce, for being here today as we talk about the art of thank you. And Tim, first of all, some of this goes back. There was a young man who came up, or a younger person who came up and asked for some advice, and then you were surprised that you got a very nice thank you from him.
Yeah, I just
The guy was about 28 years old. He had contacted me, wanted to arrange a meeting to talk some business. He was starting his career and was asking me for about his advice and so on. And, you know, we talked for about an hour, and real nice guy. He graduated from a local high school down here, and he'd been in the Army, served a hitch, and been over in Afghanistan and so on. And, you know, we talked generally, and he was saying which direction should he be going in information technology and whatever. Okay. Well, about a week goes by, and suddenly I get in the mail this package, and I go, what the heck is this? And there's this really nice letter. Mr. Bryce, thank you for your time and attention, all your help, and thought you'd enjoy these two cigars I got for you, because evidently I had mentioned something that I like cigars, and I was like, wow, where did this come from? You know, it just really blew me away. You know, just you never see anybody saying thank you anymore. And I happened to mention this to a good friend of mine, and he says, you know, I had something else recently happen. He said, I was running the...
Shell.com. You're listening to Richmond's Morning News with Jimmy Barrett.
Because you've got personality.
Want
personality.
Type A. Personality. Type B. Type C. You see how it goes. There's four basic personality types, we're told. And most people fit into one of those four types. There are some people who are a combination. I happen to think I'm a combination of two different personality types, and maybe you are too, but how well you get along with employers and employees, I think, has a lot to do with meshing these personalities. There are some personalities that just do better, or you're maybe just better off knowing what kind of personality they are before you hire somebody, because if nothing else, it'll tell you what kind of direction you need to take them in. Joining us to discuss it, Tim Bryce, investment company manager and the author of Morning Into the Real World, a handbook for entering the workforce. What personality type are you, Tim?
Well, actually, I think I'm a type B personality. I've been around a lot of type A personalities over the years, and I appreciate what they do, but I'd like to think I'm more of a type B type. And basically, I wrote this paper for young people more than anything, because they're going off into the workforce for the first time and they really don't know what exactly they're getting into. And I said, hey, you better understand the types of people you're going to be working with. Not everybody's going to have the same interests as you. And you know, the things that's driving this, and actually type A, B, C, D, you know, this is really not new. This is coming out of the 1950s under industrial psychology and so on. It's just something I've known about for a long time. But it looks at people, whether they're positive or negative. Are they risk-takers? Are they underachievers, overachievers? What type of creativity? Are they independent and so on? Type A personality is highly independent and driven personality. You know, these are typically leaders in business. If you're a small business owner, you're typically a type A personality. You understand the risk involved. You're blunt. You're competitive. There's no nonsense. You have an entrepreneurial spirit about you. You're the risk-takers. And type B is highly extroverted people who love the spotlight. They're great entertainers, great salesmen. They have strong charisma. Everyone likes to be around them. And they thrive on entertaining people and are easily hurt if they cannot sway someone, such as bombing on stage.
Well, you know what? That's why I think I'm a combination of A and B. I do.
Well, that's correct. Not everybody is going to be pure type A, pure type B. There's always going to be elements of the various personalities there.
But the A and B have a tendency to go together, do they not? There's a lot of...
very much so.
Lots of letters.
Tim Bryce, always a good thing. And speaking of that, from beautiful Palm Harbor, Tim Bryce in person. Tim Bryce, welcome to the town square.
John, how are you and Lee doing today?
We're doing fabulous on the banks of the beautiful Chattahoochee River right here in Jamestown, New York.
I hear it's up to the 40s today up there.
Yeah, it's a regular heat wave. It was zero yesterday morning in Bust Eye, Tim, so that gives you kind of some sense of where we're at here.
Well, the reason I was calling, John, is I wanted to give you a little update if you're interested about the Pinellas County congressional race we just had down here.
Well, we heard that you had a little congressional dust-off, and the Republican reigned supreme there in the special election.
And it was interesting. You know, the Democrats said it was a really close race, 47% to 48%. Actually, it's a little bit more than that because there was a Libertarian candidate running as well. So Mr. Sink got 47%, and the rest got 53%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little misleading when they say it was so close out there. A lot of it came down to the message of what they wanted. And this was really a referendum on Obamacare.
I noticed
Mr. Jolly, of course, was against it. And Alex Sink, when she gave it, she couched her words very carefully.
Majority.
Well, I have to say I agree with him, and I appreciate what he has to say every day. Today, really, I thought was right on. I appreciate that. I wanted to just say thank you, Tim.
Okay, well, and, we'll pass that along. Hopefully he's down the...
He always says, keep the faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Pass the ammunition.
Yes, pass the ammunition. And hallelujah.
Thanks go out to KITAM in Yakima, Washington, WDUN-FM in Gainesville, Georgia, WRVA-FM in Richmond, Virginia, and WJTN-AM in Jamestown, New York.